Well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have sought thy blessing already upon the word today, and we thank thee for that. And we do thank thee, Father, that it is thy word, and for this day especially we thank thee. And so be gracious to each of us, to each of our families, and undertake for us, our God, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be indeed adored and honoured, that thy Spirit will be truly in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought that today we would look at two godly mothers. Today, because you get a cameo of Lois and Eunice, as has already been mentioned here in 2 Timothy. And it's wonderful when you think of the influence that they must have had upon young Timothy. When I was in high school, which is quite some years ago, we used to have a debating society, and one of the regular topics was the hand that rocked the cradle ruled the world. And, of course, we would debate that energetically in our adolescence, and not realising how serious a subject that really is. Because as we go through the scriptures, we do see the picture of many godly women and how they truly were influential, whether it's a Deborah, whether it's a Hannah with a little Samuel, whether it's Elizabeth, whether it's Mary, the mother of our Lord, or as we come to Eunice and Lois today, whether it's these two, the tremendous influence that they can have upon not only the family, but upon the future of a generation. And I think that it's so important for us to take the occasion then, if the world is celebrating Mother's Day, well, let's think about such a thing in a biblical way. And so I thought we would look at Lois and Eunice, two godly mothers, under three headings here, taking a few thoughts from some of the verses here. Firstly, their family circumstances. Then secondly, we'll have a look at their faithful care of young Timothy. And then thirdly, we will see final compensation, the outcome. So there we are. That's where we're headed today. Firstly, their family circumstances. Secondly, their faithful care. And then thirdly, their final compensation. All right then. Well, let's have a look at the family from what we can glean from the scriptures. Their family circumstances. Their names, Lois and Eunice, were not common Hebrew names, actually. They were taken from the surrounding culture. And so it's quite interesting to see that there was not a kind of a traditional Hebrew family that we're looking at here. Some have suggested that they were relatives of Paul. Oregon suggested that, but we don't think so. It's just a sort of a vague shot in the dark. But we meet them actually in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, firstly. And we see, as part of their family, a glimpse of their family circumstances. They lived at Lystra. You remember the Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, the places where Paul went on his missionary journeys there. And he lived in Lystra. And here's the first glimpse for their family circumstances. They lived in an idolatrous city. They did not live in a Christian city. They did not live in a God-fearing city in the biblical sense. They lived in an idolatrous city. There was no synagogue there in Lystra that is recorded. So there's no idea as to whether this place where they worshipped or where they lived had any God-fearing circumstances with them. And so Lystra is where they lived. And that is why, of course, it's quite important for us to see that as far as our circumstances are concerned, you might think, well, we live in Sydney, we live in a pretty godless place. This is a pretty terrible set of circumstances we're in. Or we live in this suburb or that suburb and these things happen. And we think, you know, oh, if we just lived in a better location and so on. No, that's not necessarily the case. Not at all the case. These two women, their family, they lived in difficult circumstances. And that was not the only difficulty that they have, because, you know, we want to have an ideal marriage and family and so on, and that would be, that's a wonderful blessing when it occurs. But really, from Acts chapter 16, we see it was also a mixed marriage. Because, you see, Timothy's father was a Greek. And it meant, of course, by that too, that in a sense that he was not a believer. Now, we don't know why that is the case, a mixed marriage, how the circumstances happen. And we know very well that biblically we are, if we are a Christian, you young men, you young women, you, if you confess Christ, as I trust you do, never let it enter your mind that you will just marry somebody because of their looks or their wealth or anything like that. The most important thing is, are they a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is most important. But having said that, these things do happen at times, and these circumstances we can't make any judgments on. Because, and how do we know he was an unbeliever? Because Timothy was not circumcised. He was not circumcised, which is a sign of the covenant for believing Jews and so on. Right from the time of Abraham, they were circumcised. And so every time, of course, then Lois and Eunice gave him a bath, they were reminded of the fact, very obviously, that Timothy was not circumcised and were not therefore by nature, in a sense, part of the covenant family of God as yet. And so therefore we say, if we're looking for ideal circumstances, it was not ideal. We don't know any more about that, what the father was like and so on. We do not know what that was like, but the possible circumstance that had occurred was that the father probably died, because we only meet Lois and Eunice, and they seem possibly, in the Acts 16 situation, they thought that possibly the father had been a Greek. He may still be living, may not still be living, but if he wasn't, then they would have been in the circumstance of being widows. And that would have been very difficult as well. They didn't have Centrelink to go to get some benefits from the government. They didn't have all the provisions that would normally accord to people in such circumstances. That's why the church in Acts chapter 6, in the church had to seek to make provision for the widows that believed, because they were in a very difficult circumstances. And that's where the diaconate came from. And so therefore, as we're looking at their circumstances, where they live, possibly, you know, mixed marriage, difficult situation, maybe widows, financially in great difficulties in one way or another. And so as we're looking at them and seeing their circumstances, we think, what a terrible set of circumstances potentially it could have been. And so therefore I want to encourage you today that if you are married and if you have a family and so on, and you've got these difficulties that are there all the time in the circumstance, you think, oh look, I could just rear my children so much better if, and so on. Now, God doesn't necessarily put us in ideal circumstances. And Lois and Eunice, no doubt, were in such circumstances. But the one factor in their family circumstances that was so vital was that these two women were godly. That made all the difference. And so therefore, my dear Christian, for mother and father, those are the elements that God looks for. Those are the elements that will influence your children and that they will learn from. And as Calvin says in his commentary here, as far as Acts 16 is concerned and their belief, he said, here women are, as it were, canonized. God puts them in a special place and sets them in an honorable degree. And that is true. And that is why, of course, I mean, we hear a lot of sentimentality about Mother's Day and getting mother tea in bed and spills all over the bed and all sorts of things can happen. And so I don't know what happened in your place. It doesn't happen in ours because our children are grown up and away. But, you know, we hear a lot of sentimentality. The main essence of a good family is that we are godly in Christ Jesus. And so, therefore, you might have all sorts of other deficiencies. But if you're a praying family, if you seek to honour the Lord Jesus Christ, you never know the influence that a mother can have. My mother was not a believer. My father was not a believer. It's a long story and I won't bore you with it. But I do remember one thing, and I still have it, that my mother gave me when I was younger than some of you people here. But I loved books, and she gave me a Bible storybook. It was put out of all things by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And one of the neighbours had got it and was going to give it to her son. We lived at North Tarramurra, and we used to get our milk from their cow. That was the days when you got your milk from the cow and not from the bottles. And anyway, she had decided not to, and so my mother, because I still got the inscription in it, she had written it to Dear Lenny, who was the name of her son, and my mother had overwritten it to Dear Dennis, and have a happy Christmas, love mother. But you know what, that book sticks in my mind. That was my introduction to Bible stories and to the Bible. Really, yes, I was sent off to Sunday school and so on to get out of the hair on Sunday morning because my parents, of course, never went to worship or church or anything like that. But that sticks in my mind. And so isn't it amazing? I'm thankful that my mother did that. I am so thankful. And so when we think of the influence, the little things that you as a mother can do, and you don't put a great deal of store upon. You never know what God will use them for with your child. You will never know. And it may be you as adults, you can think back to your mother. You can think back to your parents and so on. And something sticks in your mind and you were thankful. Yes, there might be things that happened that you're not thankful for. Right. No, parents are certainly not our deal. We hear terrible things sometimes happening, we know that. But today we're concentrating on the blessings and the faithful, godly example and influence of Lois and Eunice was quite remarkable as far as young Timothy was concerned, in spite of their family circumstances. All right, well, what did they do then? Let's have a look and see what was the faithful care that they exercised for young Timothy. One of the old commentators said, piety or godliness that is taken in with the mother's milk passes into the bloodstream. Now that's quite interesting. It may not be anatomically correct in some respects, but it sort of reminds us that that influence starts very, very young. You know what it is like. I can remember my wife and I when she was first pregnant with our first child, who's now 53 years of age. But I remember praying. We prayed for her while she was in embryo. We really did pray for her. And so it's so special. I can remember my wife saying, look, is it sinful for me to hope and pray the Lord doesn't return until we have our first child to see what it's like. And I said, well, I'm sure the Lord understands our circumstances. because it's such a special thing. And mothers only can know that well and truly. But the most special thing about it is that with Timothy, it started young. It says in chapter 3 and verse 15, which was read by Luxon to us today, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, do you know the Greek word there is brephos? And that brephos is a newborn or a fetus. That's what that means. In other words, when it's talking about child, it doesn't use the ordinary Greek word paideon, it uses brephos. So that's really interesting. From a child, right from the very beginning, that thou hast been taught the Holy Scriptures. And so therefore it was a wonderful, wonderful example for us to see that these godly women were concerned for young Timothy right from almost, I guess, conception or birth. Right from that time they were concerned that he would be taught the word of the living God. And you never know, parents, you might think, oh, it's a waste of time to read Bible stories and so on to your little tiny tots and so on and have devotions with you. Wait till they're older. Don't wait till they're older. Start straight away. Straight away. Indeed, I'll never forget the testimony of Corrie ten Boom. Some of you would no doubt have heard of her, the film The Hiding Place and so on. And I heard her speak at Sydney University back in the 50s. And Corrie ten Boom had this testimony. She said, "The Lord Jesus was a living reality to me." And she said, "When I was very young, my mother told me how dearly the Lord Jesus loved children and he wanted to live in their hearts. I must have asked him to come in, though I don't know how or when." Now we might try and pick a few theological things there. Put them aside. Put them aside. Right from a child, she cannot remember the time when she didn't love the Lord Jesus Christ and treasure him. And so therefore, it shows how young it can be. And that we teach them therefore God's word. Look, I tell you what, this biblical faith is very important today. Now, I'm not against technology. We've got examples of it around in the church and so on. Now, don't faint. I'm not having a go at you. But I'll tell you this. It will be important for you, for each child, to have a physical paper Bible. Because it's a book. It doesn't have anything else in it. Your tablet can have all the messages from Facebook and your friends, as well as 100 versions of the Bible and all sorts of other wonderful technology things. But this book is a Bible. Now, I must confess I've got a couple of helps in the back and so on. But it is a physical, tangible representation of the revelation and word of the living God. And it's special. And so, therefore, encourage your children to use the Bible. Yes, they can use their tablets for this, that, and the other, and look up verses and so on. That's fine. We're fine. But a physical Bible, I believe, in this age is important so that they will reverence. It doesn't mean to say they make an idol of it and so on, but they will reverence the Word of God because it is unique. There is nothing else like it. And that's the environment in which young Timothy grew up. And not only was it the faithful care, was it a biblical faith, but it was obviously an exemplary faith. It was a faith that was lived by example, because these two women obviously had a reputation among the godly of that generation. And Paul knew it. And so, mothers, your influence and your example speak volumes to others. It is so important. Young women, for instance, that are thinking about marriage, and they want examples. They want examples, if perhaps they don't come from a believing household, to see a godly mother, to see a godly woman in that circumstance, living out their lives. You'll never know what influence that might have. John Newton, the slave trader, before he was converted, in a time of deep distress, he just cried out, "My mother's God, the God of mercy, have mercy upon me." His mother died, by the way, when he was 8. And yet his mother had such an influence on him in memory at the age of 8. And that came back to him in his slave trading business. And so what an example a mother can be. And we see that with Lois and Eunice. And also another thing that we notice about it, and I think it's in verse 15, it says there, and I'll just better check it. No, I'm sorry. It's verse 5, not verse 15. Chapter 1 and verse 5. When it says, when I call to remembrance, and it says here in the authorized version, the unfeigned faith, and the translation read this morning, I think it was the word genuine that you used there. Same meaning. The genuine or unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. In other words, the unfeigned or the genuine faith that Timothy had that was already there in Lois and Eunice. Now, what does that mean? Now, the Greek word there is anhypokrites, related to the word hypocrite. An is the prefix, which says not, in a sense, not a hypocrite. In other words, it was absolutely genuine. And we need to be reminded of that today, because there are so many fakes around. You know, some of you perhaps have been to Singapore and you've walked down Orchard Road and out come the vendors saying, do you want to buy a fake watch, a Rolex or some other brand or whatever, and so on, a fake watch. And they look so good. They look so, but they're absolutely fake. Now, of course, there are people like that that claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians. They do the right thing. They say the right words. They might even go to your church. You never know. They might do that. But they are not truly converted. And time will tell eventually. Time will tell. If you buy a fake watch, you'll find out how good it is in time. There's no doubt about that. It'll give up. But that happens too if we are not genuine with the Lord Jesus Christ. But these women persevered right through. And Paul comes across them in Acts 16. They'd done their job for years beforehand. It was, and that was a, not only therefore an unfeigned or a genuine faith, but it was a persevering faith. When Paul came on the scene, they had possibly been believers for 20 to 30 years. It is possibly the case if you work out your chronology and so on. And so, mothers, it's a persevering faith that is needed in the faithful care. You know what it's like with your children. You have them and you bring them home and it's wonderful and that until they start to howl at 2 a.m. in the morning and you've got to decide who gets up to feed the child and your husband sleeps like a log. And so you cop it all the time and so on. You think, oh, how long? It will pass. It will pass. Be encouraged. It will pass. You'll have more difficult days ahead, actually, when they get into first going to school, then coming home with words that they've never heard in the home, and then eventually when they hit adolescence, very interesting time, and you never lose your children, you know, you never lose them really. And my daughter in her 50s had surgery just a couple of weeks ago, and we were really concerned about it, and the Lord was so gracious. But we just hived off to the hospital to be there with her. Because it's the sort of thing, you know, they're always, always on our hearts and minds. So don't be worried. You know, you think, will I last? Will I persevere? How will I go? The difficulties I'm having now and so on. The Lord Jesus says, take no thought for the morrow. Today, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We have enough difficulties today. And so don't worry. You know, some people say, well, I'm not going to get married because, you know, if we have children and then this will happen. Forget it. Forget it. Today is the day that we make our decisions and we trust the Lord for the future. I remember when I was in fourth class, I used to go to a two-teacher school. That was North Taramara. That shows you how long ago it was. And I can remember sitting in the fourth class seats and looking across at the blackboard for the sixth class kids, and I thought, I'll never do that. Never do that in a million years. Well, I did get through primary school eventually and the rest as well. But you see, I should not have been concerned. I soon learnt that. But this is the way that we are. If Lois and Eunice looked at all the difficulties that would be ahead, perhaps with a mixed family living in Lystra and all the problems that they're bringing up young Timothy and that, they could have given up. And so many people today give up. Don't. Live for this day. Commit the future to the Lord. And so theirs was a persevering faith. That's interesting. Theirs was a persevering faith. But also another thing about it was that it was a shared faith, because clearly they passed it on to Timothy and to the rest of the church as well. It was something so very clearly on their mind that it was not just for them to keep, in a sense, hide their light under a bushel. They felt it was so important to teach this young boy that was part and parcel of their lives. And along with that too, it was a directive faith. It was a faith where they truly taught him so clearly as to what they had. Because Timothy did have his weaknesses and so on. He was timid in many ways. But they still obviously cared enough for him to teach him the values of really standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be afraid by it. Paul had to always encourage Timothy, young Timothy, especially because of his youth, where it says, "No, let no man despise your youth," and so on. He did have to do that. He must have been a very tender young man. And I think that that also reminds us of one of the other qualities that must have existed with Lois and Eunice. And that was, in their faithful care, it was a loving faith. And it's so interesting. You see that reflected in that first chapter of 2 Timothy and in verse 4, where Paul writes, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Now, isn't that interesting? This comes out. He must have been such a tender young man that when Paul and he parted, he wept. That young Timothy wept. And he must have been therefore brought up in an environment of love and of tenderness. And I think that, yes, it's maybe part of personality as well, and as well as that. But the environment would have been so important. And I think that we need to remember what it is to show love in our families. And somebody has drawn up one of these people that sort of analyse things, but they say there are four T's that are very important in a mother's relationship to its child and within the family. And the first one, which of course today we have to say sometimes holding our breath, but the first one is touch. And they have shown so clearly how important it is, even physically, for a baby and a little one to be touched and cuddled and held by their mother and their father. That is very important. Now, sometimes you'll get one child that doesn't want to be hugged and the other one's all over you like a rash all the time, and others, you know, it's very different and you don't force it and so on. But it is important to demonstrate that. And yet we're living in a society, sadly, we're living in a society where I freeze if a young child comes near me in the street to say hello, and I don't know the child and the mother's there, and they might think I'm, you know, somehow strange or whatever. I am strange, but not in that way. We get really concerned. It's sad, because some of the evil that has been perpetrated by people in the church in circumstances, so we won't get onto that. You know, the only time these days it's respectable to touch is if you score in the football and you get a try and they're all over you like a rash. I'm glad I don't play football. I really, that would swear me off forever. But there is the first element, show affection to your children. The second T is time. And that is so important because there are so many thefts of time around us today. Even more than when I was a child. There was no television, it was just the radio, that's all it was. There. No TV, you couldn't do anything. If you ever went out to a movie theatre, that was just absolutely astounding. You know, that was like a yearly event. But there was nothing. You were left to your own devices, and I guess that's why I became a bookworm. And these sorts of things today that can steal time, whether it's your technology, whether it's the ability to communicate with others even around the world like that, and you're so busy that the time that you have when you sit down with your children and you share and you talk or you pray or whatever it is so sometimes difficult to get. But they will be the things that will influence your child. Very important. And you children, you let your parents do that. Don't you just say, look, I'm busy, I've just got to do my homework, I've got to, you know, and you sneak off to your room and you're on Facebook and you're doing this sort of business. No, sir. I am really glad I'm not a parent today. I'd be a real dragon as far as my kids are concerned. I get irritated with some of my grandchildren. We've got 17 on them, so it's not difficult to get irritated with some of them. But time together is vital. The TV off, the computers away, everything, so that there you spend time. The third T is, of course, trust. And learning to trust your children, and you trust your parents and their judgment and so on. And the fourth T, of course, is truth. And I've talked about a biblical faith already, so I won't go into that at all. But Lois and Eunice had a loving faith which clearly affected the child, Timothy. He was a tender young man. As well as a godly young man, he was a loving young man. He loved his mentor, Paul, and he knew what it was to love. He knew what it was to respond. He'd grown up in a household like that. Well, there we are. We come to the final compensation then as far as Paul and Timothy and that were concerned. We've seen the family circumstances and we can see the faithful care that they exhibited. Now the final compensation, and this is where parents, we do have to wait to see what works out. And you may have sometimes some great difficulties and disappointments. You have a child that has grown up in a godly home and you've prayed with them and for them and you've done all the four T's and everything else that you have done for them, and then they wander away. They wander away from the Lord. They may have made a profession, but they wander away. Or they may not make a profession. And that is a heartache, a terrible heartache. Don't despair, friends. Don't despair. And I speak from experience here. Do not despair. The end is not yet. The end is not yet. You can still pray. You can still be consistent and so on and love them and care for them even though they go off and they do some pretty terrible things. You know, finally, who knows what God might do. So don't be discouraged. But on the other hand, when you see them walking and godly in Christ Jesus, and oh yes, they will make mistakes and so on. They're not perfect. And so on, but encourage them and be glad that they love the Saviour. Be glad that they truly follow Christ. That is a wonderful, wonderful blessing when you see that in your children. And what a blessing it must have been for Lois and Eunice to see their young Timothy come along the way he did. And then Paul comes and he becomes an associate in a sense of Paul. But the most important thing they would have rejoiced in was that he was saved by grace. That he had a true, living, vital faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the God of Israel. And so in that, what a wonderful compensation it was to see him as a believer. And then later as a pastor. What a wonderful encouragement. There will be compensations with your children, friends. There will be blessings despite the hardships and the difficulties and so on. And but those, you see that in this life, you will see some blessings. If you sought to be faithful, you haven't been perfect, but you sought to be faithful in Christ Jesus in loving and caring for your children. And eventually, of course, the parents would die. Paul would die. Young Timothy may be living on. But what has been left to him by his parents, with the Bible in his heart and in his mind, and with the godliness and the example that they'd had and the faithful care that had been bestowed upon him, that he still would have continued. You never know. Lord Shaftesbury, I think it was, had said, "Give me a generation of faithful Christian mothers, and within a generation, society will be changed." Don't look to the politicians, look to the family, friends. That's what God has instituted. And you can make no better contribution in this country, in this society where we live, than to live a godly Christian life in your home with your children, and to seek that they truly follow Christ. And as you see that influence being a blessing to others as it extends, and as it did with young Timothy, what a compensation to be able to see that working out in practice. But all the final compensation is in eternity. What a wonderful blessing it is to think that if the Lord saves our children and we bid them farewell in this earthly life, we will see them again. We will see them at Jesus' feet. And what a joy and blessing that will be. But God does call us to give an account as a parent, as a mother, as a father, for the care of our children, because that's the most precious trust. Most precious trust. I am really so concerned, and I know, and I don't want to go on about this, but I am really so concerned with economic pressures and so on, where so many of our children are handed over at such a young age for others to look after. And it's an industry, sadly, and I hope there are good people in it and so on. But, oh, look, try as much as is possible to still have that close, caring relationship with your children, because what a blessing it will be to see them, to know that through that, by the grace of God, that they've come to Christ and are with you in all eternity. And so, to all of you, to young Timothys and Timothy S's, male and female, you be thankful today for your mother. You be thankful for today. Maybe some of you, sadly, you may have lost your mum. Maybe, but be thankful for her memory and for what she may have done. She may not have been perfect, but you show yourself to be thankful. If you have a godly mother, be doubly thankful to the Lord for her. Oh, yes, she makes you angry at times. She gets irritated when you don't do what you're supposed to do. Well, you do what you're supposed to do and give thanks to God that somebody cares for you. But young men and women, be thankful for your mother today. And to those of you who are mothers, perhaps like Eunice, who was the physical mother of Timothy, persevere with your children. What you're doing is so vital. Yes, your husband is in part of it with you, but you may even be on your own. It may be a sole parent family for some reason or another, or your husband may be a bit of a klutz at times and hopeless in these things. You have a special responsibility there, and a special blessing that you can convey to your children with those touch and time and trust and truth. Those are your immediate opportunities to care for young Timothy and Timothy S. And to the grandmothers, it's nice to be able to hand them back to the children, isn't it? The children's children. But what an example you can still be. What a support you can still be. What an influence you can still be in your senior years over your children. That is the way Lois was. Two godly mothers. I hope they are represented here with you. I hope and pray we can pray for one another and see in this godless age a nucleus of godly families in our church here, in our own church elsewhere, where we see that wonderful concern and faithful care, no matter what the circumstances are in which we live, because to the glory of Christ there will be a final compensation, and we will be able to say to the Lord Jesus, I thank thee for the children that you gave me. I thank thee for our family. And I thank thee that we are part and parcel of the whole family of the household of faith. So be encouraged. Bless God for the example of two godly mothers. May they be lived out with us too. Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal Father, how we do thank thee for the example of Lois and Eunice. How we thank thee for young Timothy. How we thank thee too for the wisdom and care of Paul, as he truly could see the blessing that the family was. And help us therefore, our God, not to be discouraged today, but to be thankful for the opportunity. If we have failed, have mercy upon us, Lord. May we be able to start afresh. May we truly know thy forgiveness and pardon. But, O God, our Father, in whatever we seek to do, may we do it firstly as unto thee, and then for the love and care of our loved ones, that we might truly be able to look to thee constantly in time and rejoice together with them in all eternity. And so we ask thy blessing upon every family here. In Jesus' name, amen.